The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this, and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. How many of you are looking forward to the resurrection? Now, don't hold down your joy. How many of you are looking to be resurrected? You know, that's why this church isn't full. Because, you know, resurrection, yeah, it's going to happen, so forth and so on. And yet, Jesus says, this is what everything is heading for if we're faithful. Heaven is not going to be this disembodied experience, but we will be body and soul. We will have resurrected, glorified bodies, and I can eat all the chocolate I want without any problem. But our bodies will participate in heaven. And this is all God's doing because he knows he created us as bodily beings. And he knows that this is how we find our way in life, how we enjoy things, how we experience things. So our bodies will be part of our resurrected life with God. And we got to get that message out because there's so many people who are broken, wounded, fearful. And yet the resurrection is this great promise of God. If you're faithful to the Lord, you will be with God, fully resurrected, and well, we don't know exactly how much fun it's going to be, but we know it's going to be great. It's going to be the fulfillment of all our heart's desires because God will be right there. We will be with God. We will see God, and we will participate in his divine glory, not just passive observers, but participating in his very life. We have just a little bit of a glimpse of that in today's gospel from John. It's not a resurrection, it's a restoration to life. But nonetheless, what Jesus is trying to do is grab people's attention and say, see who I am? This is what I do, this is what I can do, and I can do more for you. So listen up. So we have the first three gospels, the synoptic gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke. They're very similar. They have many miracle stories. But in the Gospel of John, we have very few what we would call miracles. We have, in fact, what theologians call seven signs, seven things that Jesus did to show what his desire is for us and what the kingdom is going to be like in some ways. Anybody know what the first sign was that we have in John's gospel? Now, you're always right, so. Okay. It was the multiplication or the creation of wine at the marriage of Cana. That's the first sign. What a sign! He makes all this great wine, and it's at a marriage celebration. And at Jewish marriage celebrations, you know, they don't sit around and mumble, they're dancing, they're singing. They're drinking. They're enjoying things. I mean, who would not be attracted to that? And we have to believe that Jesus was part of that. Just like after the Last Supper, they went out to the Mount of Olives singing the Hallelujah Psalms. So Jesus participates in this. So that first miracle or sign, not really called a miracle, but sign, is a way of grabbing our attention and saying, this is what God wants for us. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us, in a sense, to be dancing around and enjoying ourselves and our relationship with one another. And the marriage itself, the marriage of a man and a woman, is a sign of what God wants for himself and the church. God is the groom. We are the bride as the church. So heaven is really a marriage banquet, and we're going to participate in it. So again, we should be looking forward to that. You know, it's not a question of overeating or overdrinking. It's simply a question of being there and enjoying it. So today's gospel, the restoration of life of Lazarus, is the last of the seven signs. So in this gospel, we have Lazarus who died. He's in the tomb for 4 days. Everybody thinks, you know, the body's starting to waste away. And yet Jesus comes along and says, Lazarus, come out. And Jesus restores Lazarus to life, and he restores Lazarus to his family and friends. So it's not just coming back to life, but here he is coming back to his sisters and to all his friends in Bethany. And we don't hear it in actually many of the Gospels, really, but I doubt that Martha and Mary were saying, oh, yeah, we knew you could do that, God. Yeah, that was really great. No, they probably were jumping around, hugging Lazarus, and Lazarus was hugging them, and there was this joy that goes to the heart of what God wants for us. So there again, he wants new life for us, fullness of life, but again, Lazarus was not resurrected, he was restored to life, but God wants even more for us, and he wants the joy that goes along with all these signs that Jesus worked for us. So we're supposed to be thinking, hey, this heaven thing is pretty good. And then we're supposed to be asking ourselves, do I want it? And if I want it, what am I doing to say to God, yes, this is what I want? Because remember, too, as they go from wherever they were to Bethany, and then they're going to go up to Jerusalem, they know that this is the time where Jesus is going to suffer and die. So they know if he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to die. But the apostles willingly go with him. And even Thomas says, well, let's go with him and die with him. Because they've got this idea, and it's true, that Jesus will be executed. But again, even on the way to his own death, he is restoring life to another person. And that, again, is what God does. In healing, the forgiveness of sin, miracles that are happening all over the world. We don't see them. And, you know, our media is not going to publish them because it might shock people too much. But the things that Jesus did are still happening. And Jesus did these signs to grab people's attention so that they would say, oh, this guy's special. This guy has something that nobody else has. So it's a way in which Jesus grabs people's attention so that they will come to believe and then follow him as his disciples. And that's why we're here today. Because people through the centuries believed, they followed him, they passed the faith down, and this is why we're here. You know, we may think, well, you know, I made this decision or my parents baptized me as an infant, so forth and so on. But we're here. We made some kind of a choice to be here. And part of my job is to remind us of what Jesus has done in our lives and what he wants for us in our lives and how he wants us to go forth and continue his work. So again, signs, miracles, they did not stop 1900 years ago. They didn't. There are Christians, at least supposed Christians, who believe that there are no longer miracles, there's no charismatic gifts, there is none of that. I don't know why they believe it, but they do. But as Catholics, we believe the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charisms of the Holy Spirit are still available to us. The power of God is still available to us. So like Jesus, literally, we can go to someone and say, Mary, come out of the tomb, or be raised up. And that is happening in the world. It's not happening here, though. So one of the questions, what's going on with us? Do we really believe in Jesus Christ and what he said to us to continue doing after he ascended to the right hand of the Father? And if you want to know what we're supposed to be doing, it's all in the Bible. So one of the other signs was feeding 5,000 people. Actually, it was more than 5,000. But we can do that. We can do that. If we have the faith, if God calls us to show this sign to people, we can do it. So again, it's always a question of how deep is my faith? Am I looking forward to heaven, to resurrection? Do I believe the promises of Jesus? And if I do, what am I doing to exercise them, to discipline myself? What are we doing as a community? That's a very important question, because it's within the community that we share the good news of salvation. We help one another identify what our gifts are. And then we go out and we practice them. And then we come back and we say, hey, I cured somebody of their hearing loss. And then other people go, praise God, the Lord is in our midst. And then it keeps on going like that. But that's the way it's supposed to be operating. And if you remember the story of Jesus sending out the apostles and the disciples two by two, they went out, and what did they come back saying? Lord, even the demons obey us. We have cured people. They were surprised. Why? Because their faith was still growing. And our faith is still growing. However, we have 2,000 years of history and experience. We had a couple weeks ago, Lisa Lacona from St. Bernard's talk about saints, all the miracles that saints do. Ordinary people, they're no different than us. They're not special. They're unique, but they're not special. They had access to the promises of Christ, access to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and so do we. We cannot say, I don't have access, I'm not good enough. It's God who makes us good enough and says, go forth and proclaim the gospel message. So these gospel stories, especially today's, is to inspire us, to go forth in faith and practice what Jesus says we're called to practice, proclaiming the gospel in word and deed, not just word, we have to say it's about Jesus, but also in deed, and do the signs that Jesus did so people will pay attention and they'll say, I want to know more. I want to find out more. So again, before Jesus ascends to the Father, he says, the purpose of all this is to make disciples of every nation and to bring them to our pool of Bethesda and Siloam and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's not just my job. That's all of our jobs, to go out and find those who have not heard the gospel in particular, or those who have, and remind them of the good news so that they too can come and believe. And hopefully, as those things start happening, especially the signs, we're going to come into Mass, we're going to stay through Mass, and we're going to go out with a big smile. Wow! Lord, you promised, and it's true! And we will take joy in another, a fellow parishioner, working a miracle. And then we're going to say, we've got to be careful about pride, well, they're a member of my parish. But we will all share in that. But the stakes are very high, especially in today's world where there is so much evil, so much darkness, despair, depression. But we have the good news, and that should give us joy. It should give us energy. It should give us an impetus to go forth and do more, to talk it over with one another, get together with a couple people and say, so what are we going to do this week to show the joy of God? What are we going to do, perhaps, to work a miracle? Who will come in our direction who will be in need of healing? And how are we going to approach it? So again, sky's the limit with God's power. But it's up to us to keep reminding ourselves that it is the power of God. We do have access to it. But also that we got to practice it. Like anything else, we got to practice it. Not just talk about it, not just think about it, not just know the theology of healing, but to actually do it so that people will come to Christ, which is exactly what he wants. So as we go forth this evening, think about your own convictions, your own faith in Christ, your desire to be resurrected, to be a part of God's ongoing working of signs and miracles, and see if you might be able to identify a particular charism or gift. could be healing, could be teaching, could be administration, could be hospitality. Those are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. What might your particular gift be? And then practice it so that as a community, we've got all the gifts within our community and showing people who this Jesus Christ is. Because we know who he is and we want others to know him. But again, we have to cooperate and participate with him in going forth and proclaiming the gospel. And again, that's all of us. Doesn't matter who we are, how young, how old we are. Doesn't matter if we have an education. None of that matters. It simply matters that we have faith and conviction in Jesus Christ and that we're willing to go along with Jesus and even be like Thomas. Lord, we will go with you no matter where you go, even if we die. But that's the call for each Christian to go forth and be a faithful disciple.